Let's remember where we're at, Rabbi Osai, and let's seek to pull all the pieces together, weave all the threads together. Gemara here on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and a Gemara on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. First thing we had done in looking at this Gemara was just to appreciate the Machlokes Amoram, the Amoram within Mineu Bei in Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. You'll remember we're discussing Maliach Kiroseach, this suggested alternative method of time transfer. You can even though the Mishnayos both in Gid Anasha and in Kalabasar and in other Prakim and other Masechtas talk about the transfer of flavor for time ka'ikar purposes is happening via the medium of heat. The heat is the engine, is the method of time transmission. So here the Amoraim are talking about time transmission, a cold blia, a blia betzonein. Here there are several types of blias betzonein we're going to see. We've already seen them a little bit, and we're going to be meeting them more directly over the course of Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Beis. So the Amoraim are discussing time transfer via melicha, maliach kiroseach, which we saw as already a tosefta in Trumas perek tes halacha beis, about the fish. The salty fish and the non-salty fish, the kosher fish and the treifa fish, Tosefta Masechet Trumas, which is quoted at the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph Nechulin, and Shmuel doesn't quote that Tosefta here, but Shmuel definitely appears to agree with it. And Ravin, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, Shmuel's contemporary, Rabbi Yochanan, Ravin disagrees. That's the way it looks. Shmuel says Maliach Kiroseach. We know that Shmuel said that abstract principle that a salty piece of meat, a cold salty piece of meat, is going to have the same impact as a hot piece of meat. A cold salty piece of fish will have the same impact as a hot piece of fish. A cold salty piece of cheese will have the same impact as a hot piece of cheese. Maliach Kiroseach. And Shmuel also specifically discussed a case. What was the case? What was the case that Shmuel discussed? The treifa plate. The bloody plate, but the plate isn't actually bloody. The plate is nice and clean. This pan is to the naked eye, this pan is very clean. It was scrubbed with detergent. Squeaky clean. But it was a ka'ara shamalach ba'basar. Shmuel says looks can be deceiving, just like when you have a nice, shiny, clean pan, but you used it earlier today to fry salami and eggs. So, Kar Shabishal Babasar, I have a pan that you cooked meat in, a pan that you fried meat in, even though now the surface is totally clean, there's no residue, but it was Bolea Tama Fleshiks through its exposure to hot Fleshiks. So Shmuel says the same is true here. I have a pan that Kar Shamalach Babasar, I have the pan that I salted the raw meat in to get the blood out. That's Kuf Yud Gimel Manal, if you're Mechuyiv, to salt every piece of meat in order to get the blood out before you can eat it. So Shmuel says, but if you salted a piece of meat in a pan, the pan becomes treif. It's a bloody pan. The surface is clean, but it's bolei the tam of blood. That's obviously a treifa. That's a non-kosher flavor. So you better not put any hot meat down that pan because it's going to draw out the flavor of dam that was nivla into this pan. The bolei into the pan occurred through maliach, so you better not put a hot piece of meat on it. It'll be mafflet, it'll cause the pan to spit that flavor out, so to speak, into the second piece of meat. Oh, right, so that was Shmuel. Ravin disagreed. Either Tosefta says Maliach is Kiroseach. Okay, so we saw Tosas deals with that. Tosas seems to deal with that. That maybe Ravin would say Maliach Kiroseach only by going into fish. And that got us thinking that Shmuel, on the other hand, is being mechadesh. Not only they can go into other things besides fish, they can even, that Maliach Kiroseach can even push the flavor into a kli, not just into other foods. That's already a step, two steps beyond the Tosefta. Number one, kalim are not as porous and absorbent as food. And number two, if it's going into the kli, that means that we're caring about an extra step. Because if the treifa flavor of the treifa fish goes into the kosher fish, the question is, can I eat that kosher fish? Oh. But here, it went in, the flavor of the treifa meat, of the blood, went into the pan. No one's eating the pan. No one's asking the rabbi, can I, I'm really, really hungry. Sometimes people chew on their pen cap or on their pencils because they're bored and it's a bad habit. Bad habit. Not referring to anyone in particular. Bad habit, not recommended, right? But no one's going to say, for a lot of reasons, not recommended. Good idea to break the habit. But no one's going to say, like, oh, that pencil is treif, right? The shaila is not, oh, this ka'ar shamal babasar, can I chew on the pen if I'm really bored in class? No, right? The shaila is, as Shmuel says, I then take a hot piece of meat, some other hot piece of kosher meat, and I stick it on the pan. Is the meat treif? Is the meat treif? So that's a step removed. This is 2 degrees away from the blood. So that's Shmuel's being mechadish. Again, Shmuel's adding two elements that the pan can absorb, even though the pan is not as porous as food, but Meliach could push flavor avian into a pan, and that we care about the flavor that tray for flavor that went in through Meliach so much that even a step later, still going to be a problem. Yeah, sure. What's the question? That's a good point. That's an interesting analogy. As Yeshua has pointed out, this notion of sort of the source of a problem and then it can be transmitted X number of steps, that we do have that by Tumas Meis, which we discussed a little bit earlier in the year. Those who learned Bava Kamma last year, you remember that's on Daf Beis. Avos HaTumah, Avlados HaTumah, right? And with every type of Tumah, there's a point at which, after enough steps removed, the Tumah wears out. And sometimes it's wearing thin. For some purposes, it's tummy. For other purposes, it's not tummy. Yes, it's a good way of thinking about that sort of transmission model. So for now, we're not differentiating. I could have had a half minute to differentiate. Shmuel says, no. It doesn't matter whether the freight trafe of Tom went directly into food, one step, or the trafe of Tom went into a pan, and then from the pan went into the next piece of food. So 2 steps. So at this point, we're not differentiating, but we are going to get to that. We are going to get a layer on the Amud, 2 sugyas down, and that, of course, is going to bring us right into the world of peanut chews, Oreo cookies, and other issues of dairy equipment. So that is coming attractions. Okay, so now the rush. So that was just Mineu Bein the sugya that we saw last time, two shiurim ago. Mineu Bein the sugya, and again, appreciate a very short tosis, but appreciating a just how to read the tosis and be appreciating sort of excuse me, the larger significance of what the Tosis is saying, sort of the conceptual framework that they're building for us. Thinking about potentially differentiating or not differentiating between different receivers. Oh, but then we saw that the Rosh had raised Akasha. Let's come back to this Rosh. We left off by looking at the Rosh's Teretz. Rosh was very subtle. He didn't really ask as a Akasha and a Teretz. He just sort of set a psak and said, but other people disagree, but here's what I say, and here's why, and now this is wonderful. So sort of like a rush you have to pick apart, which I'm sure you do with your chavrusas after shir. We'll take a peek at that again and then see how other Rishonim open things up in other ways. But again, just to take a quick, the rush had, as you turn to the rush, maybe stop on the way on Kuf, Yud, Gimel, Amud, Aleph. Because the Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, at the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph, the Gemara quoted the Tosafta with which we began. And further down Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay. So again, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Top of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara quotes the Tosafta. And the Gemara is still talking about Melech Kroseach. And Nisinas Tam. And then, in the middle of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where you have the parentheses, that's Simen, Bisra de Manach Nafkusa, that's the Gemara shifts for the last couple of lines before the next Mishnah to talk about melicha. Melicha not in the basar b'chalav or tarova sense, not in the sense of transferring flavor, but melicha in the sense of what we talked about before, the chiyuv a Jew has to do melicha on raw meat after shechita, but before actually cooking or grilling, you need to salt it. As the Shmuel says, he says, you mechuyiv to salt the meat because of the concern of dam. The Torah says the Jew's not allowed to eat blood. You gotta salt it well and rinse it well in order to be certain that you've gotten rid of any liquid which we would halachically deem to be blood. whatever is left after, whatever red fluid is left after you go through a proper process of melicha v'hadacha, of salting yafa yafa, solid, serious salting, well salted and well rinsed. Once that's been done, whatever is left, we assume does not halachically qualify as blood. There's plenty of other red fluid in the body as well. And the Gemara gets into the details of how you do melicha, this much salt, that much salt, the rinsing before, the rinsing afterwards, all the details. The one detail we had seen, but Shmuel said a couple lines later, that you got to do the melicha on a kli menuka. It has to be done on a perforated kli, a kli with holes, a kli with great drainage, so that any fluid that drips out of the meat will be whisked away almost immediately. So the Rush, and let's turn to the Rush now. I want to read, we left over reading the Rush, I want to see the Rush inside again. I think for some guys it's a little confusing. And it's the Rush is subtle. So let's take another close look. Simen Chaf Ches, the second column in page Kuf Tzadi Beis. If you're looking at the old print of the Gemara as I am, near the top, he quotes from Nachman Amar Shmuel, Kairish Amalch Babasar Asalach Baraseach. The pan that you salted the meat in is treif, is to bolea blood through the melicha. You're not allowed, you should not be putting hot food on that pan. Because even though the surface is totally clean, I'm not worried about surface residue, I'm not worried about be'en, be'ez ayin yud nun, I'm not worried about tangible stuff on the surface, but I am, still, even though it's clean, I'm still worried about bleus. I'm still worried about the absorbed flavor. And the Gemara says, no. And Rosh quotes the Gemara, Shmuel Taimei Dama Shmuel Meliach Reiv Kraseach. Kavish Reiv Kavushal. This particular case that Shmuel spoke about, but the Kavish Meliach Babasar, is an application of Shmuel's general principle of Meliach Kraseach. And then the Rosh adds, here's the Rosh's point. Shmuel, this point from Oskus Kuf Memches of the Divrei Chamudos, Oskus Kuf Memches in the parentheses, that's assigned to the Divrei Chamudos. So at that point done, now it's the Rush speaking. He's done quoting, summarizing the Gemara. Now he's going to add, with a Ka'ara She'ena Menukev Asairi, we're only talking about a Ka'ara that does not have holes. In other words, when Shmuel said that the pan becomes treif through the Melicha, what type of pan was he talking about? So the Rosh says he's only talking about a non-perforated pen. In other words, if it was a perforated pen, the type of pen you usually use for melicha, it would be fine. It would stay kosher. Even though you've used it for melicha, you've salted meat in this pen, as you should, Rosh says that pen stays kosher, and you're allowed, assuming it's clean, you're allowed to use it for a hot piece of meat, a hot piece of cheese, whatever. It was not bolea anything. It remains clean. If it's clean, it remains kosher, parav. It's totally fine. Shelo kedivrei mefarshim da'ariyafil b'mukavis. He says, I am disagreeing. I am disagreeing with those mefarshim who say that Shmuel is even talking about a ka'ara minukavis. Where did the Rosh get this from? Okay, so he's already telling us there is a machlokas, and here's a paskin. So right now he begins by talking about the halacha. What should it actually be? And then it gets back to explain where it comes from. De'im kain, if so, mean if you would say like the other position, so then, yehe aser limloach beiz pa'amim b'kli menuka. It would be aser to salt meat twice in the same kli menuka. So that's really what's driving the Rush. How could you tell, how do you reuse a pan for melicha? And let's unpack this question some more, as we did last time. Shmuel said, you use a pen for melicha, melicha's basar, it became treif, it absorbed the flavor of blood. You better make sure not to pull that flavor out. How would you pull that flavor out? Shmuel says, you put a hot piece of meat later that day, a hot piece of cheese, whatever it is, hot piece of fish. For simplicity, let's talk about a hot piece of fish. Actually, no, let's talk about a hot piece of meat. Let's talk about a hot piece of meat. I salted beef in the morning in this pan, and then I rinsed everything, I cleaned it out, scrubbed it down, the pan is sparkly clean. So Shmuel says, don't put hot chicken schnitzel Don't put hot chicken on that pan later that day. Why? Because it was boleya, the pan was boleya, tam dam through the melicha. If you put hot chicken on it, the heat is going to draw the flavor out. So says the Rush, 1 second. Why does it have to be only not to put a hot piece of chicken? How about if I put salty chicken in the pan? That would also draw the flavor out. No. L'chayr. So, Sirash says, oh, okay, that makes sense. But then the problem is 1 second. So, if I salted meat in that pan in the morning, I shouldn't salt chicken in that pan in the afternoon because it's going to draw the flavor out. And it says, just follow the steps of the logic. He says, 1 second. So, how do you ever reuse a salting pan? As he says, Yehi aser l'mloch beis pa'am mikli manukav. It should be aser to salt twice in the same pan. Now, and why is that an impossibility? That's what I mentioned last time. We might look at this Russian and say, okay, yeah, I mean, you threw out the pan and then you could use a new one. That's what you have to realize, what I was calling last time, history of technology. You have to realize they didn't have. We take a lot of things for granted in terms of how our life works and how we do stuff. And there are plenty of people, again, usually it's not, nowadays, not end user customers who are salting their meat, but in a butcher shop, they might often use foil pans, disposable foil pans, because it makes cleanup easier. Okay, but the Tanam weren't using disposable pans, the Amoraim weren't using disposable pans, the Rishonim were not using disposable pans. So the Rush is saying it can't be that you have to use a new pan every time you kosher meat, every time you salt meat. Lo yitachein. Obviously, you have your salting pan, maybe a few of them, and you reuse them again and again and again for weeks and months and years, and hopefully for many healthy decades. You're salting your meat in your 20s and in your 70s in the same pan, unless it cracked and you replaced it. So, but according to Shmuel, that's aser. That every time you salt, it's drawing out the flavor that went in last time. How yitachein? So Shmuel said, don't use it for hot. How about don't use it for salty? So the Rush says, that's mamash, a stira guluya. And kufyud gilam, that's again, let's go to the other nusach. I said last time also, you could think of this, what the Rush is saying. If you wanted to, you could reformulate it. Number one, just to realize what we did so far, which is the Rush said, oh, here's my shita, here's the other shita, because, da da da. And to realize what he's unpacking, and realize what he's really saying is, there's a kasha in the Gemara, and I think the teretz is the following din, and I'm disagreeing with other Rishonim who don't agree with that din. And by the way, you're going to have another teretz to the kasha. One way of reformulating what the kasha is to think of it as a stira between Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Gimel. Because on Kuf Yud Aleph, we said, once you use a pen for melicha, it becomes treif. And the flavor can come out the next time through heat and presumably through salting. While on Kuf Yud Gimel, we said every piece of meat has to be salted. Every single piece of meat that goes to your kitchen has to be salted. And again, in the old days, you're doing it yourself. But whatever it is, every piece of meat, kosher meat, becomes kosher through salting. So every piece of meat is getting salted. So how is every piece of meat not becoming trait for the previous piece of meat? And so that was the Rush's stira. On Kuf Yud Aleph, Shmuel is explicit that Melicha pushes flavor into a pan such that it can come out the next time. And Kuf Yud Gimel, the implication is, no, I can salt, I have to salt every piece of meat. So presumably I'm reusing the pan. And presumably it means, you know, meat A did not make the pan treif such that chicken B will get that tarfus when you salt it. Right? So that's the steer. So Russia's territory was Kuf Yud Aleph, Kuf Yud Gimel, two different cases. Kuf Yud Gimel said, beferish, the way you're supposed to salt is with a kli menukav. And he says, oh, that line of Gemara, a couple lines down Kuf Yud Gimel, is the solution. Kli menukav is what you're supposed to use for melicha. You're not supposed to use a kli she'ein menukav for melicha. Why? Well, because then the meat that you're salting, piece of meat number one, is going to sit and stew in its own cold, salty, bloody juices. And the salt is going to, if it doesn't drain, it just sits there. The salt is going to push the flavor back into the meat. That's what the Gemara appears to say on Kuf Yud Gimel. So the Rush says, oh, that's your answer. On Kuf Yud Aleph, we're talking about the other type of kli, the kli she'ena menukav. That's what the Rush said. Right? And He says, and he doesn't even unpack this, but we can unpack. And svar b'davar, gevaldik. The same way you don't want a kli manukav, because the same way you don't want a kli she'en manukav, because it'll push the flavor back into that piece of meat. It'll also, if you have pools of blood, salty blood sitting there, it'll push it into the kli. It'll push it back into the meat. It'll push it into the kli. Kli she'en manukav, the undrained, the solid kli without drainage is just bad all over. It's going to cause further malia. It's going to activate malia karasech because it's sitting there for a few minutes. The Rosh says, but gevaldik, Shmuel gave us a solution. If it's good drainage, so there's no problem of the salty blood going back into the meat, and there's no problem of the salty blood going into the kli. It apparently takes a couple of minutes, a couple of half a minute, whatever it is, 5 minutes for the malia karasech to work. It's not instantaneous. It takes at least a few seconds of sitting there. There has to be some pooling for it to go back into the meat. Rosh says, oh, there has to be some pooling for it to go back into the kli as well. So the Rosh says, gevaldik, if you do malicha properly, this is not a problem. Shmuel's only talking about a case where you didn't do the malicha properly. Oh, you were moleach basar in a solid kli, she'en manukav. That's our Gemara, kuf yud aleph. So that's the Rosh's teretz. That's the Rosh's teretz, and that's what we would call an ukimta. Aleph Vav Kuf, Yud Mem, Taf, Aleph. An Ukimta. He was Mukim. The Rosh took to a general sounding statement of Shmuel, Ka'ar Shema'och Babasar. He said, well, it's only talking about one case. The two types of Ka'aros, Manukav and Manukav. Shmuel's only talking about one case. He's only talking about the Klisha and Manukav. The Gemara Kuf Yud Gimel is explicitly talking about Kli Manukav. We solved the problem. And not only do we have a chiluk to solve the stira, but there's a svara. They're not just random, oh, this is talking about X and that's talking about Y, X is mutter, Y is also. No, there's a good svara. Like the Gemara already said, the difference between kli manukam, kli she'en manukam in terms of maliach krosach. So the Rosh says, it works beautifully. So it works beautifully in svara, and it works, it's miyashiv the kasha. It's miyashiv the kasha. But the Beis Yosef points out in Hilchas Melicha, being in Hilchas Melicha, Simon Samach Tes. So if you're dying, Beis Yosef points out, but the Chachmei Svard were very unhappy with this opinion. The Chachmei Svard were very unhappy with this opinion. And as we'll see, the Bayatosis, some of the Bayatosis may have been unhappy with this, maybe, as well. The Chachmei Svard were very unhappy. The Ran is the one who asks it as a question most directly. The Ramban takes this up. The Rajba takes it up. Ramban's Talmud. But several generations later, the Ran, he really... Hold on 1 second. Let me just get a Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, Nassanel. Yes, let's be clear. As we open up Shulchan Aruch Simon Samach Tes, let's review where we've been. And the Shulchan Aruch actually be, I think, in a certain sense, a great way to bring everything together. Everyone agrees in terms of the Hilchas Melicha that Melicha's Basar needs to be done in a Kli Menukav. That's Shmuel's explicit statement on Kuf Yud Gimel Amnav. When you do Melicha to kasher your meat, if a raw piece of meat, you need to remove the blood. You do Melicha v'hadacha, that Melicha needs to be done in a Kli Menukav. Otherwise, the status of that original piece of meat is called into question because it was sitting in a pool, an undraining pool, a stagnant pool of salty blood. So everyone agrees, that's Kuf Yud Gimel off at the bottom. Everyone agrees when you do malicha on your meat, on your raw meat, it has to be done in a clean manukov or in some other setting where there's great drainage. Again, we show him say, you want to do it if you're doing the malicha, in that country, is going to lay it out. It's a don't do it on flat ground. Make sort of like a bed of sticks and twigs. so that everything will drain off, whatever it is, but the equivalent of a kli menukov. Hilchas melicha requires a kli menukov. The question was, how do you transfer from kuf yud gimel to kuf yud aleph? Or, in Shulchan Aruch terms, how do you transfer from samach tes to tzadi aleph? How do you transfer from hilchas melicha, the requirement to do melicha, it's melicha for better, so to speak, positive melicha, to melicha for worse, to the negative melicha, in terms of the transfer of treif of flavors? How is it going to work? In other words, in terms of ka'ar shemach babasa. So the Rosh had said, whenever you have a kli menuka, whenever you did the melicha properly mitzad that original piece of meat, you're also, not only are you keeping the meat kosher, you're also keeping the pan kosher. If you open up Shulchan Aruch says, Simen Samach Tes is in Hilchas Melicha. Samach Tes, I believe, is the opening Simen in Hilchas Melicha. Simen Samach Tes near the end, Sif Yud Zayin. Aval Imhu Menukav. If the Kli is Menukav, Mutter Lechabo Afila Roseach, then you're allowed to eat hot meat in it. Shulchan Aruch in previous Tazayin had said that if you salt it in a cliche in a manukav, so then you can't eat anything in that pan. It's going to make it treif. But if you salt in a kli manukav, mutter lechal bo afila roseach, then you're allowed to eat even hot meat in the pan. In other words, who is the first opinion called by Shulchan Aruch is which Rishon? The kli menukav, you salt in a kli menukav properly, you're allowed to subsequently clean it out and put hot food in the pan. That's according to which Rishon? Yeah, what do you say? Correct. The Rush, exactly. The Rush. The Shulchan Aruch opens by saying, like the Rush. The yesh osrin biroseach. And the Shulchan Aruch says, but there are those who do say it's osr by roseach. You can't put hot meat in it. But cold meat subsequently will be fine, even if it's salty, as the Ramban said. Salty blood will push its flavor into the pan, but it won't pull it out. And then the Ramban says, Yesh izar lechatchila ubedyeved mutter. We would tell you to avoid it. Don't do it. Find a different plate to eat on. Again, aside from this, like the Balta Shaktsu issues, he says, From a kashrus perspective, we would advocate against it. If you ask, can I use the kli menukav for my hot food? We would say, no, you cannot. But if you already did, but you have it mutter. You don't have to throw the food out. In other words, we're machmel lechatchila for the chachmei svarad, but b'di'eved we're making like the Rosh. You know, again, we mean b'di'eved here literally. Not b'shas hadchak, not the question of like, this is a very expensive piece of meat. That you're in I've been in quarantine, it's very hard to get food, and we're rationing our food. B'di'avad here means literally, b'di'avad, it was already done. L'chatchila means before the fact, and b'di'avad means after the fact. So that's halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa. So we would say, we would not advise you, we would not guide you to rely on the Rush. Don't use that pan, because L'maisa L'chachma Esfarad felt the V'lo Nehira of the Ran, which we saw as the Rashba and the Ramban B'Shem, the Ravid, that in the Rush's argument is great in Svara, but in Lashon it's Dachon Kufyut Aleph. So because of that Dochak B'Lashon, we would advise you to avoid using the cliche and Kli Menukav for subsequent hot meat, your proper salting then. But lamasa, if you used it, we would tell you do not have to throw that second piece of meat or cheese or salmon out. The hot stuff that you put in the pan, we would say lamasa, when push comes to shove, we would not throw out the piece of meat and we would eat it based on the Ramban. A closing question from Moshe Kappel. Not at all. Okay, Chevra, I think this really brings the sugya together. Again, we had a chance to see the Gemara itself. Machlokes Shomine, the Machlokes Amram, excuse me, Machlokes Amram within Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis, and we had to get a chance to read the Tosas and to read sensitively and to see Tosas giving a tariff to one kasha and sort of a perspective to deal with a larger question of Shmuel as well. And then we saw how the Rush already and other Rishonim expanded and dealt with our Gemara lehalacha based on how it interacts with the later Gemara. With three separate points on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph all come to bear on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Divrei Torah ani b'makom echer v'ashir b'makom acher. We could not fully appreciate Kuf Yud Aleph. We would not have known what to do with Kuf Yud Aleph Halacha without three different points on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The top, where they quote the Tosefta, specifically Tahar Maliach v'tamei Tafel is Mutar. And then further down, Shmuel's din that every piece of meat requires melicha. And then even beyond that, the detail that Shmuel added, that when you do melicha, it's to kasher meat, it needs to be done with kli menukav, which is both a limitation on the Gemara Kuf Yud Gimel, and is a svara, which the Rosh felt that he could apply in understanding our Gemara as well. This led to machlok shom lahalacha, how to understand Shmuel. Is Shmuel's Chumrah, Shmuel's Isur, Asur Lecha Barosech, only applying to Kli She'ena Menukav, where the Malicha to begin with is done improperly? Or does it apply to Chacham Esfar, understood to even a regular, normal, proper Kli Menukav that you're supposed to do Malicha in? And we saw the Ramban was Miyashiv, the Rosh's Kasha. He himself was sensitive to it also, but used the Tosefta, the top of Kuf Yud Gimel, to work out had to be Miyashiv, instead be Mechag between Kli Menukav, Kli She'ei Menukav, to Mechag between Roseach and Maliach. Yes, it is true that Maliach ke Roseach, this is one of the points we showed him say, it is true that Maliach ke Roseach, that was Shmuel's Nusach, but Maliach is not exactly like Roseach. In loose terms, a salty piece of meat is like a hot piece of meat. And they both cause Tom transfer. But in the details, it's not always identical. And specifically, we see here, again, there's more to see about Maroseach also, but here we see that the Tom transfer driven by Maliach is limited in ways that heat would not necessarily be limited. Which next tomorrow, we're going to dive in. Next time we go forward to the next piece of Gemara Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the sugya of related to the middle name of one of the Talmidim in the Shir, the sugya of Kefela, the core of what it means to have Tam Keikar and Bitl Bashishim, where that all comes from, that those core ideas are the very next piece of Gemara. Chevra, thank you so much for coming out. I appreciate your Mesiris Nefesh and getting up earlier than usual to make this work. I appreciate your indulging my schedule. Have a marvelous, marvelous Gevaldike day, Chevra. Enjoy.